Our scripture lesson this morning is from Romans chapter 12. So we read the word of God in Romans chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Having then gifts, differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them that persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. So far, the reading of God's infallible word. Based on this and other passages of God's word, we have the teaching of Lord's Day 21. In the article of the faith, I believe, a holy Catholic Church, the communion of saint. So we look at question and answer 55 this morning. Question 55, what do you understand by the communion of saints? Answer first, that all and everyone who believes, being members of Christ, are in common partakers of him and all his riches and gifts. Secondly, that everyone must know it to be his duty, readily and cheerfully to employ his gifts for the advantage and the salvation of other members. Beloved, this past Sunday, we looked at the church as she stands out in the midst of the world. And we love that church. That invisible church that is made manifest in local congregations, a holy, universal church, of which we, by grace, are members and forever shall be. This morning in this question, we look at the church now as she exists in herself, her very life, her existence. The communion of saints. With that term, communion of saints, we don't have something different than the church. This is what the church is in her essence by the grace of God in Christ Jesus. Saints. That name implies two things. It implies, first of all, that she has been separated from the world and she is consecrated to God. She is separated from the world because of the righteousness of Christ that is imputed to her and the righteousness of Christ that is imparted in her. She is a holy people. A kingdom of priests. And the church consists of those saints. And you'll notice how the catechism, over against the Roman Catholic Church, which would say that only some individuals are saints. No, all and everyone who believes, being members of Christ, are in common partakers of him and all his riches and gifts. Everyone that believes, young or old, whatever color, are saints, chosen by God, redeemed by Christ Jesus, indwelt with the Holy Spirit. But now our article is not just talking about saints, but their life together, the communion of saints. And communion, or fellowship, also requires two things. It requires, first of all, that there is a oneness. There is one mind, a likeness. And the Apostle Paul says, what is that mind? It's the mind of Christ dwelling within us. One life, one love, one in the benefits received. You know what those benefits are. Together we share in the forgiveness of our sins. Together we share in the very righteousness of Christ Jesus. Together we share in our adoption as sons and daughters, brothers and sisters of a family. And the hope of everlasting life. There's oneness, one life, the life of Christ. But for communion of saints, it is also necessary that there be a rich diversity. A natural diversity. We're not all alike. We've come from different backgrounds, different homes, different upbringings. And through that diversity, natural diversity, there's a richness in the church. But there's also spiritual diversities. As God, in Romans chapter 12, points out, there's different gifts given to the different saints, and there's a different measure of those gifts given to different saints. And both these things, the oneness, the one life, but also the rich diversity, are necessary for the fellowship of the church. We don't need everyone to be exactly alike, to think alike, to do alike. But each in his own or her own place and position, joining for the harmony of the whole. The communion of saints. As we dwell on that, I think of an aged saint who said to me this week, past week, I miss the communion of saints. I miss, they said, the shaking of hands with fellow saints. I miss, after the sermons, being able to talk to my fellow members about what that sermon means. And so we pause this morning to speak of the blessedness of the church in the communion of saints. The unity that believers enjoy as they together partake of Christ Jesus. But not only the unity as we partake in Christ Jesus, but also the activity. The activity that we as believers engage in as members of Christ Jesus. I believe a holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints. Notice with me the spiritual reality in that phrase. Notice, second of all, the outward practice of that phrase. And then, thirdly, the future hope. In Galatians 6, verse 10, we read about the church being the household of faith. We read in Galatians 6, verse 10, "As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." We're a family, the family of God. We're sons and daughters of God. And as sons and daughters of God, that means we're brothers and sisters together. The household of God, established not by ourselves. We don't make this household up. But that household of faith that is established by Christ Jesus himself. And so whenever we confess, "I believe a holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints," we are confessing that we believe that that communion exists. It exists not only on paper somewhere, but it exists experientially. We know this sweet communion of brothers and sisters together in Christ Jesus. It is Christ. Christ is the one and the only one who establishes that communion of saints. And he establishes it how? In the unity of faith. One faith, one baptism, one Lord. Ephesians chapter 4, we read, "There is one body, one spirit, even as ye are called, in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." The communion of saints, a household of faith established by Christ Jesus. And that household of faith consists of different members, doesn't it? From every different class of society. Different social standings, rich, poor, learned ones, uneducated ones, great, small, masters, servants, rulers, subjects, old, young, the household of faith. That's the saints, and now there's a communion. What is that communion of the saints? Notice with me, first of all, it is the communion of God himself. There is that sweet fellowship, that close friendship of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He dwells, he delights in himself. And that sweet communion that is in God himself, God gives. God takes us up into that communion in our Lord Jesus Christ. There is communion of saints only in our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, who redeems us from our sin, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by his blood and spirit forms and unites us together as the one body. We have a spiritual oneness. And because this is a beautiful work of God, because it's the work of Jesus Christ, oh beloved, be aware. Be aware that Satan would like to tear that apart. Satan would love to take our eyes off our unity, our oneness, instead to have us focus our attention on ourselves, to distract us from the unity that we have in Christ Jesus. Satan uses tools, doesn't he? Just like the Lord Jesus uses tools to unite us. Satan uses the tools of envy, of jealousy, of selfishness. He uses the tool of pride to keep us from focusing upon our unity in Christ Jesus. What does that mean for you and me, oh beloved? It means that we who have been redeemed, we put aside. We put aside these things. We fight those kind of things as they arise in our natures and as we're tempted by Satan. We put those things, we fight those things in order that we may display our oneness in Christ Jesus. Members of the same family. We have a church full, every one of them, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. And as brothers and sisters, even as in our individual families, then there should be that love, that concern, that care for one another. That is at the heart of what the Lord Jesus teaches us, doesn't he, in 1 John 4, verse 20. Love one another. We read in 1 John 4, verse 10, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? Fighting, jealousy, envy, whatever brings apart brothers and sisters, we fight that. And we're called to love one another, reach out to care for one another, for that way we demonstrate our love to God. God forbid that we are liars. Oh, it's easy to say I love God, isn't it? It's easy. But do we show that? Does that live in our hearts? Oneness. A oneness that we said earlier in our introduction that is in diversity. If all of us were identically the same, there would not be communion. It wouldn't exist. We're different. Each one of us is formed by God, raised by God differently. Different natural abilities. Different places in society. Different ages. Rather than detracting, it's a blessing to the church. Just as stones, perhaps in a fireplace, wall, stones of different colors, different shapes, beautifully fit together, what a beautiful picture one has. That's the church. But not only differing in natural differences, which are many, but differing, the Apostle Paul says in Romans 12, in different gifts. Not all our ministers, not all our elders, not all our pianists, not all our vocalists, not all are of the same ability in showing compassion and love. Different spiritual gifts given to us and given in different measures. God giving us these different gifts in different measures so that we fit together and we blend together and we are one Church of Jesus Christ. Yes, beautifully, diversity. Members of the same family, but different positions in the church. Different callings, different abilities, different ways that we serve. But every one of the members serving the whole. Everyone important to the whole. If we were going to use the human body, not all the members are the same, are they? Even in our own minds, quite often, they're not the same in importance. But each one's important for the ordering of the whole. Community in diversity. So that's the communion of saints. God, the beautiful fellowship in Himself, He takes us up into it and He makes us the body of Christ. Each and every one of us in our own place and calling. So how does it show itself in our life? How does it show? It shows itself, first of all, in our seeking communion with the saints. So it's not only communion of the saints, but communion with the saints. But before we can consider that, we need to ask a question. Who, child of God, who are your friends? Who are your companions in life? Who, young people, are you looking to and seeking out for a date? What does the psalmist say? The psalmist says, I am a companion of all them that fear thee. And of them that keep thy precepts. In other words, we have to look. We have to look closely at a person's walk. Not just what they say from their mouth, but we look at their walk. Are we similar? Do we share the same faith in Christ Jesus? Do we love Him? Do we want to live for Him? Who are your friends? God makes very clear from His word that we do not seek our friends here in the world. We may not. Why not? Well, going back to Genesis 3, verse 15, what does God say? I will put enmity between thee and the woman. The Lord speaking there to Satan. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. And it, the seed of Christ, will bruise thy head. And thou, Satan, bruises his heel. Not friends of the world. The friend, the world doesn't love Christ. It doesn't love those who follow Christ. James 4, verse 4. Know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever would be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Or again, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Be not ye unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light in darkness? So as we speak about the communion of saints, let me ask again personally of you, who are your friends? Who do you desire to be with, not just on Sunday, but who do you desire to be with and get along with on Monday and Tuesday and all the way through Saturday? Who are your friends? And the Lord tells us, our friends, those who walk with us, who stand with us, are those who have the same mind, and that's the mind of Christ Jesus. We love. We must seek our friends, young people. You must seek your dates with those within the church. Why is it true? Because we're going to be influenced by those that we hang around with, don't we? We're influenced. We're influenced either for good or for bad. Oh, how easily we can be influenced by evil, can't we? We're easily influenced by evil because of our own sinful natures. It seems so pleasant to go along with a crowd. But to be friends with the godly, that's a wonderful thing, because the godly will seek to encourage us to walk in the way of the Bible, in the way of Christ Jesus. We seek communion with the saints. And what is that communion? It is, first of all, a communion of love, isn't it? This is not something that we can neglect. It's not something that just happens by itself. But this is a necessary aspect of your and of my life, that we love one another. What does Paul write in Romans chapter 12? He says in verses 9 and 10, "Let love be without dissimulation." That means in the church we don't pick and choose who are going to be our friends, who stand with us. Let love be without dissimulation. It means we will love every member of the church. Now, that's not allowing that there's closer friendships in the church. There are. Jesus had that with his own disciples, didn't he? Peter, James, John, they were the closest to Jesus. How does John speak of himself? The disciple whom the Lord loveth. While there are closer ties in the church, there is, first of all, a tie together. We love without dissimulation. We love one another. Verse 10, Romans 12. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one above another. Galatians 6, verse 10, the household of faith. We're all brothers and sisters. That means in the family, the household of God, there's a love for every member. And in this love for one another, we use the gifts, the talents, the time that the Lord has given us for one another, don't we? We use our gifts and our times for the service of the whole. We don't say, "What do I want? What do I want to do?" But we say, we serve the Lord. We work together. We worship together. We love one another. How does it show itself in our life? It means, first of all, then, that we have a calling to love one another. Love one another. That we reflect the love of God. And what is the love of God, child of God, that we reflect? Isn't it the love that He gave Himself for us? That He loved us unconditionally. He gave His own Son. If this mind of Christ is in us, that's the love that we're going to have. Not me, myself, what do I want, but how can I serve others? How can I give myself for the good of the whole? Loving one another. It means, beloved, that we strive for that unity. It's not always easy. It's not always easy. There's bumps on the road, aren't there? There were bumps in the road in the Corinthian church, wasn't there? The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10, "Now I beseech you, brethren, I urge you, brethren, I call on you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." The Apostle Paul is acknowledging there that in the Corinthian church, there were divisions. There was fighting going on. And he says there's this fighting going on because why? 1 Corinthians 3, verses 3 and 4, because ye are yet carnal. And that's why there's envy, there's strife and divisions, because ye are carnal and they do not walk as brothers and sisters, but as men. Oh, how easily Satan would like to divide the church of Jesus Christ. Oneness. We work at it. We work at it, don't we? That's our calling every day, every year. That is the Church of Jesus Christ. We shine in the midst of this world where there is strife, there is hatred, there is bitterness, all kinds of it, between nations, between ethnic groups. And in contrast to that, as those who have been made holy by the Holy Spirit, we show the mind of Christ. We heal. We care. We forgive one another. We are long-suffering with one another. That's necessary, isn't it, saints? It's necessary because although we're redeemed sinners, aren't we? We're redeemed sinners. That means that old sinful man is dwelling within each one of us, and we have to fight that old man of sin. It means, thirdly, that in the Church of Jesus Christ, we will be filled at times with great joy with those who are joyful, and will be filled with great sorrow with those that are walking in troubles or trials. We rejoice with those that rejoice. New marriages, new children given, many joys in life. We rejoice with them, not envy them. And we sorrow with those who sorrow when a brother is missing with the children, presumed dead, when an infant child is taken away. Or during these holidays, when very keenly the loneliness sets in of a spouse no longer walking with us. The sorrows of sickness, diabetes, or cancer. We're not aloof from those, but as brothers and sisters, we sorrow with each other. We bear those burdens. Fourthly, we show it. The Catechism says, everyone must know it to be his duty. His duty readily and cheerfully. So not grudging, not stingy. I'll give a little bit time, a little bit of my talents to the church, but everyone has the duty readily and cheerfully to employ his gifts for the advantage and the salvation of the whole. And that means, beloved, if we're going to give ourselves that way, and that's why this Lord's Day also includes an article on the forgiveness of sins, doesn't it? We have to be a forgiving people. Because as redeemed sinners, we will sin against each other. We will provoke one another at times. But rather than putting up the dukes to fight, we forgive from the heart. And we speak soothing words. And we seek to eliminate any hostilities or differences in the church. Communion of saints. What is that communion? We have really one purpose in life, isn't it? One purpose, and that is that God may be glorified. The glory of God in our Savior Jesus Christ, who has separated us from the world and has gathered to us together as his body. And so our calling is together then to reflect that glory of God in our words to one another and also our deeds to one another. So when you're ready to speak about another member of the church, we pause first, don't we? We pause so that the words that we speak don't bring harm or danger or hurt. But we ask, is it really necessary to say this? Is it even true? Do I know it to be true? Is it going to benefit my brother and sister to communicate these truths? Oh, how often we need to stop our mouths. We want to reflect the glory of God in the way not only we talk, but the way we act toward one another. May God work that kind of spiritual growth, just as boys and girls in a family, as they grow up. Oh, little kids can squabble, can't they? They don't know better yet. That's my toy. But as those boys and girls grow up into teenagers, and especially once they're married, then they reflect, yes, we're one family. We care for one another. So also, the church must progress in her loving and caring for one another, the communion of Christ Jesus. Communion of saints. What does it mean in our daily lives? Those who have been called out by God and made holy are those who are filled with humility, aren't they? As we read in Scripture, in lowliness of mind that we esteem all others better than ourselves. Do you do that? Do you remember that? Do you strive for that, people of God? Humility. It means that we are faithful in all of our relationships and all our duties of life. That whatever we do, as we read in Colossians 3, verse 23, whatever ye do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. That's our aim. That's our purpose. It means that as the people of God, brothers and sisters, with the same mind, the mind of Christ, that we follow after meekness, long-suffering, gentleness, patience, kindness, bearing much, forbearing much, overlooking much, slow to talk, building up. It means, beloved, as saints, for the communion of the saints, that there's going to be a lot of self-denial and self-control. Not saying, I want this and I think we should do this. We should. It means that we follow after charity and brotherly kindness. We do unto others as we would have them do unto us. Not backbiting, not slandering, not cutting down, not gossiping. Loving our fellow members, seeking to be a blessing to one another, building up one another, encouraging one another. The household of faith. Oh, beloved, it means a lot of mercy, and it means a lot of benevolence towards one another. Mercy. The mercy that God showed to us individually, the mercy that God shows to His church, we seek to show that mercy, that kindness, that compassion to one another. It means that we readily and cheerfully give of ourselves. Here I am. We really say to the church, how can I be used of you? How can I serve? My time, my talents, my abilities, Lord, use me as a servant for the good. What a beautiful topic. What a precious topic. I believe a holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints. How often, beloved, how often isn't that lacking? How lamentable at times is the communion of saints in the church? How weak it is. Selfishness and the spirit of independentism. That's the spirit in the world, isn't it? You deserve it. You earned it. You should have this. I'm going to do this. I think this. I want this. Those things, beloved, have crept into the church, haven't they? Needed is self-denial. Not I, we. Not living to ourselves, not seeking our own glory, not seeking the preeminence, but occupying our place in the saints, the body of Christ. The Apostle Paul begins this chapter that we read, Romans 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, how? By the mercies of God, by the mercy that you've tasted, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Don't be conformed to the world. Selfishness in the world. Independentism in the world. I. Don't be conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Pray, beloved, pray for that continued work of the Holy Spirit where we are renewed more and more after the image of God, after the image of Christ Jesus. Yes, often the communion of saints is weak. Often, lamentably, it's not what it ought to be. But it's not entirely absent, is it? And where it's found, we have a foretaste of heaven, isn't it? Being transformed more and more, we love one another, we give ourselves to one another, small beginning in this life, we look forward to the communion of saints when Jesus comes again. Huh? What a day that will be. All the saints in glory, different races, different languages that they spoke here on earth, different abilities, but no envy, no jealousy, no strife, no bickering, no divisions. One with Christ Jesus. We began this morning with Psalm 133. How pleasant and how good in the sight when brethren dwell together in unity. Here we strive for it, and God gives His blessing, doesn't He? Blessing like dew on the mountains, or like the oil that ran down on Aaron's head and beard and all the way to his garments. Blessings. but the future. We look forward to the future. When Jesus comes again, all the saints in glory around the throne praising God. And so we pray, even as we have a foretaste here already, the blessedness of dwelling together, we pray, come, Lord Jesus. Come quickly. What a day that will be. And he that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. Amen. O Father in heaven, what a day that will be when we will see Christ face to face. What a day that will be when there will be no more sin, no more pride or envy or jealousy, no more divisions. We have that hope, Father. Christ is coming. And therefore we purify ourselves. We seek for a greater taste of that communion of saints here on earth. Give us, O Lord, that love for one another. Work in us that mind of Christ Jesus, not self-seeking, but giving of self for the good of one another. Bless, O Lord, the communion of saints here in Byron. Amen. Turn in our psalters to number 369. Those are the words of Psalm 133, the communion of saints, and we'll sing both stanzas. 369. We'll sing all three stanzas. Fellowship of the Holy Spirit be yours. Amen.